If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The early church knew what it meant to go through temptations. They went through temptations, Brother Dave. Every generation goes through trials and temptations. It's a part of our experience in the Christian life. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So they always kept bringing in the second coming of Jesus Christ, the appearing, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is a verse this morning I want to emphasize on, is verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. May you speak to us through thy word. May the Holy Spirit give us wisdom and understanding as we bring forth the living word and preach it in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we do give thanks. Amen. One of the things we need to get a hold of in our life is to love the Lord Jesus. Whom having not seen. No one of us has seen Christ with the physical eye. Now when Peter wrote this, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, now Peter had seen the Lord with his physical eye. But the church here that Peter was writing to had not seen the Lord with their physical eye. The only way we can see the Lord today is with our spiritual eye. As we're going to see as we get into the message this morning. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, rejoicing in joy and unspeakable glory only follows believing. You can't reverse it. Believing, as we're going to see. You don't know that. Remember the time when Doubting Thomas doubted the Lord. He says, I won't believe unless I see and can feel the side and the nail, see the nail prints in his hand. And when Jesus appeared to him, because Peter was there, I'm sure this came to his mind. And Jesus says, more blessed are those who don't see yet believe. Believing in the unseen. You say, how is that possible? How can you believe in someone you've never seen? How can you believe in something you've never known? And this is where the Word of God comes in. This is where the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes into play. And without God, we would never know the Lord. We would never love the Lord. It's because of God, as we quote that verse quite often, we love Him, God, because He first loved us. It doesn't begin with you and me. It begins with God. Some people say, well, if you'll love God, He'll love you. No, God loves you. That's why we love Him. He is the beginner. He's the one that starts the love of God in our hearts, as we're going to see. Isaiah said, whom having not seen, he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What a blessing it is to have the Lord revealed to you in your soul. To be able, with the eye of faith, to see the preciousness of Jesus Christ. We see him through the preaching of the gospel. This is why the gospel is so important. The preaching. It says God chose the foolishness of preaching to deliver, to save them that believe. God reveals himself through the gospel. That's why God gave us his word. It's given to God's people. It's given to encourage us, to strengthen us. It's given to encourage our faith. It's given us as a foundation for faith to lay hold of. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith, which is within us, hears the gospel message and lays hold of that, and the Holy Spirit gives us the faith to believe it. That's how we see Christ in the scriptures. Ye love. Now, love is a devotion. It's a commitment. And it's a sad thing in this country that we're not as committed to the Lord as other religionist groups are committed to their false theology and false gods. They're willing to die and be blown up for what they believe, and we have Christians today who are not willing to even obey the Lord, to love the Lord. Now that makes you wonder, what's wrong with the question mark? What's wrong? Truly, when you see the Lord Jesus Christ in his love and devotion to your soul, he draws you with love. He doesn't force us to obey him. He draws us with his love, as we're going to see. Whom ye love. What does it mean for two people to get married? It means they have a love and a commitment to each other. Love is a commitment, not so much a feelings. You know, I love, we're human beings and we like the emotion of how we feel. And we like that, we call it the chemistry that we feel with each other. You know, you're drawn to each other. But the real commitment is a commitment to one another, even in a marriage relationship, a church relationship, a family relationship. It's a commitment for the good of the other person. And when we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're committing ourselves to him because we love him and we appreciate what he's done for us. Paul says in Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, first of all, you cannot love God until the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in your heart the love of God. I don't care who it is. They can go through the mechanics. They can come to church every Sunday. They can do all the different things. But the one thing needful in every life is for the Holy Spirit to shed abroad in the heart of individuals the love of God. When he sheds that love of God into our heart, then we have the ability to love God in return. As I read this verse earlier, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. And as Paul is teaching in the book of Galatians on the fruit of the Spirit, he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is the first one listed, is love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. These are the things that give us the strength to live the Christian life. And the number one is love. How do we love the Lord? It's a fruit of the Spirit put in our heart in regeneration, to love the Lord. See, Peter used that illustration where he says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Babies naturally, Jackson, will crave milk. It's his nature. And we, as born-again believers, should by nature crave the word of God and crave the things of God in Jesus Christ and his church and the kingdom of God. It should be part, it's part of our nature to crave these things. And Paul says in Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You can't separate love and faith. You know, we think about faith, but it's love in our hearts that draws faith into action to lay hold of the things of God. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to work in your life, in my life. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think Dave touched upon this a few weeks ago. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. If he doesn't blow up on our souls, we become cold and indifferent. Now I'm talking about believers now. It's easy for us because of the cares of this world and all the things that surrounds us and all the trials we go through and the temptations, and we get indifferent, we get cold, we don't read the Word of God, we don't pray like we should. Then all of a sudden we start getting cold toward God. What happens? We need a moving of the Spirit to blow upon us, kindle our love, to draw us back to the, what did Jesus say in the book of Revelation? What did they say? Repent and return unto your what? First love. Let Jesus Christ be the love of your heart. Because he's your God and he's your Savior. And he says, in whom? I'm just going to bring a few things out there. We could go through the whole New Testament in that subject. I think Brother Dave brought that out one time, one of his messages. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption. Beloved, we have redemption in Jesus Christ, in whom? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Oh, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ, shed his blood that Brother Rhodes' sins could be forgiven. Without that, I would have no hope. I'd be without God and without hope in this world. But because of Jesus dying at Calvary, shedding his blood, giving himself a ransom for many, I have hope. Because Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. All because of what? According to the riches of his grace. David, it's all grace. It's all grace. It's grace. The riches of his grace. Verse 13 of Ephesians 1 says, in whom ye also trusted or hoped after that you heard the word of truth. See, that's the importance of the word of truth. You get your hope and trust through what? The word of truth. You hear, you believe, and it builds up your strength and your hope and your faith. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, notice this, not until after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I believe that has to do with our assurance of salvation. As we become stronger and stronger in our faith, God gives us that faith to lay hold of the promises of God. We lay hold of the promises of God, and God answers our prayers. What does that do? That encourages our assurance of going to God. Look how many blessings God has blessed this church with in our past history. Of car accidents and cancers and different things God has brought people through in our church. What a blessing. But there comes a time when God calls people home. Now we can pray. We always have to end every prayer with, not my will, but thy will be done. Especially when it comes to some things. We don't know if God's going to heal every person we pray for. But I remember the case of David. When his son was sick and he was dying, he prayed for his healing until the moment that God revealed to him it wasn't his will to heal his son, and God took him. Then he washed his face and went on his way. We're to pray for things that we don't know the ultimate end, how they're going to come out, until God reveals otherwise. In the words, if someone's sick and you're praying for them, they have cancer, you pray for them, knowing that God can raise them up if it's his will. But there comes a day when God calls people home. God's will be ultimately done. But until God reveals to you, either by death or some other reason, you continue to pray for these individuals. We don't know secret things of God. In whom are hid all the treasures, wisdom, and knowledge. Where? In Jesus Christ. He's made unto us what? Wisdom. He's made unto us sanctification. He's made unto us knowledge and justification. Christ is everything we need. And as you study the scriptures and as you see what Christ has done for you, the Holy Spirit will blow upon your soul and you will begin more and more to love the Lord because of His faithfulness, what He's done for you, a sinner. I don't have to look beyond myself to know what a sinner is. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Jesus said He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Sinners. There's hope for you if you're a sinner this morning, but if you're not a sinner, there's no hope for you. Oh, to see yourself a sinner and then see the need of Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit gives you that love in your heart and gives you that new birth, and you have that ability to believe in Jesus as your substitute. He died for my sins. Oh, what a blessing that is. That'll draw love from your soul to Him. Though now you see Him not, present tense, we don't see the Lord. We don't see Him, but we rejoice after believing, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But we will see Him one day. I'm just going to quote this one verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and 18. Then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. This is talking about the second coming of Christ, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a blessing that is, beloved. One day we will see Christ face to face. We sing a song. We'll see Him as He really is. That should be the longing of our souls, to one day to be caught up to see the Lord. Yet believing. Believing is always in the New Testament, always in the Word of God, present tense. You never cease to be a believer. You can find nowhere in the Bible where believing is past tense. It's always present tense. He that believeth, he that's believing and continues believing, it's in the present tense. It says in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in doing what? In believing. You want joy and peace in your soul? You've got to believe in Jesus Christ, and He will give you joy and peace will flood your soul. That's the assurance of salvation, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that makes these things a reality in our life. We love our children dearly. Every parent here can testify to that. But we cannot do the work of God in your soul. We cannot give you the new birth. We cannot share the love of God abroad in your heart. We cannot do these things, but we can encourage you and point you to the one that can and pray for you. But beloved, it's when the Holy Spirit, by His sovereign will, moves and blows into your soul, then these things will start becoming a reality to you. Are you a believer? Now, you can't look for feelings and emotions, and, you know, the feelings sometimes can deceive us. Believing means to put your confidence in. You're clinging to someone. You're putting your whole trust in that individual, and you have cast out all for that individual. So to believe in Christ is to give your all to the Lord Jesus Christ, everything. It's to cling to Him, to rely on Him, to trust in Him, to save you from your sins in this present world. And it's done how? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. John said in closing the book of Gospel of John, years ago in the churches that I went to, they used to give out little booklets of the Gospel of John. We used to give out thousands of them to people, the Gospel of John. Why was that? Because the Gospel of John goes through salvation so beautifully. It has so many stories of salvation. And he closes it with these words, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Believing is an evidence that you have spiritual life. It's an evidence. How do you know whether you're an elect of God? Are you a believer? We can't see in the Lamb's Book of Life, Brother Dave. The only way you can know that you're a believer is by your calling, your repentance, and your believing. If you're believing in Christ, then you are one of God's elect. Now, it doesn't mean if you hadn't believed in the present tense, because it took a while for even Paul, who was Saul, to come to faith in Christ when he met him on the road to Damascus. Before then, he was hauling the Christians into prisons and beating them and making them blaspheme the name of God. But one day, he met the Lord. Paul changed. He said, Lord, what will thou help me to do? And I pray for anyone here this morning who's never made that commitment, that one day in your life, you'll come to that point in your life and you'll say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Now you're getting serious with God when you come to that point in your life. God is working behind the scenes. John says in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. That is true. God gives us spiritual understanding to know what? To know Jesus Christ, Brother Bill. To know Him. Not just with our head knowledge, but to know Him in our souls, in our experience, in our assurance, in His answered prayer, the strength He gives us, our calling upon the Lord, and He delivers us. We come to know Him more and more in our walk with God. He gives us that spiritual understanding that we may know Him, that is true, and we are in Him, that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And John says in John, he said, he that hath the Son hath eternal life. He that hath not the Son does not have eternal life abiding in Him. Jesus is eternal life. So to be in Him is to have eternal life, and to Him to be in you. You rejoice with joy. You remember the disciples when they went out and the Lord commissioned them and they went out and they were doing miracles and even the spirits were subject unto them. And here's what the Lord said unto them. In Luke 10:20, He says, notwithstanding is this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now you want something to rejoice about this morning? Children of God, rejoice because your name is written in heaven in the Lamb's book of life. When did it was it written? Before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. He says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now that's difficult to practice at times. I'll be the first to admit it. When everything is going contrary to your will, everything is seen to be going wrong, everything, like Jacob, everything's against me. Unless you have that spiritual eye of faith, it's hard to rejoice during that trial. But James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. But James, that's not easy to do. So you have to have the eye of faith to look beyond the trial, what the Lord is working in your life. He's working in your life to purify you, to give you strength, to show you what really counts in this world. And I'll be the first one to admit, I've been through some things that I didn't enjoy. But when it was all over, God showed me I needed that, Brother Dave. I needed that trial. I needed that to teach me not to rely on my strength, but to rely on His strength. So rejoicing in the Lord always can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Christian life is not about doing a lot of things and this and that and do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that. No, it's about enjoying the kingdom of God in your soul and His joy and rejoicing with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter that He may abide with you for how long? Forever, Brother Dave, forever. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Those who have not been quickened need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to quicken them, shed the love of God abroad in our hearts, and to keep drawing that love out by giving us understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We today, why is it so important for us to read the Scriptures, to read read the Word of God, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as we see Christ in His death and His passion and His resurrection, His teaching, the Beatitudes, as He's our prophet, He's our priest, He's our king. As we grow in those things, we come to love Him more and appreciate Him more. And the Holy Spirit reveals that to us, and it draws our love and affections out to the Lord, whom having not seen with the physical eye, yet you love Him because you've seen Him with the spiritual eye. Unspeakable and full of glory. And there are some things in the Christian life you can't explain. You have to experience it, Brother Dave. Salvation is one of those things. And there is one verse where Paul emphasizes prayer, that it's unspeakable. He says in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prays through us to the point where we're just groaning. God hears our groans. Now, you two as a young couple, you understand what that means. When Jackson starts hurting, you're listening. If you hear him groaning and crying, and you understand the language right there, you're right there to help him. And when the Holy Spirit prays through us and we're groaning and our prayers ascend up into heaven, God is there listening, Brother Dave. He's paying attention. Now, he don't have to get out. I wonder what he's talking about. What is he saying? God knows. He knows our needs. You ever hurt so bad that you couldn't pray in words? Or you be so burdened about something, you just didn't have the words, you just fall on your knee before God and just say, God, please help. You don't have the words to say. Those are some of the precious moments in our life. As we look back in our life when God brings us down to our knees and we just don't have the words to express to God, and God blesses us and answers those prayers. Those are special. They're unspeakable. Unless you're a child of God and experience that, you will not understand it. Paul says in the same chapter, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Children of God, there's many trials that we all go through. But Paul says, listen, believers, child of God, nothing that we go through in this world can be compared to the glory that's waiting you in heaven. Never lose sight of where we're going. We're going to that city whose builder and maker is God, as we're going to see in a few moments. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:31 that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In chapter 10, 31, he says, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now here it comes back down to the Spirit's ministry again. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Through the Holy Spirit. But we all, with an open face, verse 18, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed to that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we read the Word of God and we see Christ and His character, His goodness, as we read these things, we're beholding the glory of the Lord. And as we're reading that and studying those things, we, by the Holy Spirit, are being changed into Christ's likeness, Brother Dave. We're being changed. And who does that? The Spirit of the Lord. Again, showing our dependence, our need of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and our walk with God. And this, I was meditating on this verse. I was thinking about this verse last night. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Grace is a manifestation of God's glory. wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We don't accept him. He accepts us, Brother Dave. Just think about that. I'm accepted in the Messiah. In Christ I was chosen. In Christ I live, I have my life. In Christ I have my strength. In Christ I have my sanctification. In Christ I have my justification. In Christ I have my wisdom. In Christ I have every need that I need. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. What a blessing, Brother Dave. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Boy, if this verse can get a hold of you, it'll be a blessing. Sometimes we need to take just one verse and just meditate on it all week. Over and over and over till God opens it up to our soul. Wherein he hath made us accepted. We've been made accepted in who? In the beloved, not in ourselves. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Isaiah says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we have been accepted in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, when I stand before God, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness, but I want to be found in the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, in him, accepted in the beloved. Paul knew that thought. To the praise of the glory of his grace. 1 John 2:28 says, and now, little children, John had a way of putting things. He wrote with a fatherly outlook, little children. He speaks about the fathers and the sons of God, and he wrote in a family relationship, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That is a command to us. We need to be abiding in Jesus Christ in our daily walk. So when he comes, whether today, tonight, tomorrow, we won't be ashamed at his coming. At his coming and appearance. Now this should give us rejoicing. Our homecoming, as he speaks about in John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions, that word could be translated abodes. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. Personal, for you. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 speaks about the sounding of the trumpet. When the last trumpet shall sound, there's coming a day when that trumpet will sound and time will be no more. And the next thing happens, the dead in Christ shall rise first. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, all the graves will open, Brother Dave. All the graveyards will give up the dead, and they will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and we which are alive shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will be caught up to forever be with the Lord. Wherefore, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. That's our blessed hope. We're just pilgrims now living through this world. What do you see now? What do you possess that you'll take with you? Nothing. I don't care how much money you got, you're taking nothing with you. I don't care how many homes or cars or things of the world that we have, we can't take nothing with us. Paul says we came into the world naked and we leave naked. We take nothing with us. It shows us how vain this life really is. If a person only lives for time, only lives for the present, never lives for God, never knows God, never lives for God, he dies a horrible death. Because he dies without God and without hope in this world. And Jesus will say one day to people, depart from me, I never knew you. To know the Lord, children of God, is a privilege, and we should be so grateful that we know the Lord. Because we know the Lord, and he knows us and his sheep. He says, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That is one of the traces of being a child of God. But knowing that, we know that we'll never hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because we know him. He knows us. That's why having this knowledge of salvation, beloved, there's no price can be put on it. We which are alive are changed and called up to meet the Lord in the air. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection chapter. He says that Christ is coming back. They that are Christ at his coming. Oh, he's coming back for his children. It says in one of the epistles, he's coming back to be admired by all them that what? Believe. Oh, well, when we see him, beloved, I don't think words can express the joy of our souls. We're going to have a resurrected body. We're going to have no sinful nature, nothing to hinder our true worship to God. As we're being caught up to get in the air to meet the Lord in the air, we'll see him. I'm longing for that day. We shall forever be with the Lord. We shall be changed in the moment into the likeness of Christ and meet the Lord in the air. This is thus says the Lord. This is not Brother Rhodes' thinking. This is the Lord's word. The former things are passed away, all things are new. Revelation 2:14 says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou there then to hold the doctrine of Balaam." No, that's not the verse I'm looking for. It's in Revelation 20, where he says, "All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." There's no more crying, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. That day's coming, beloved. We have hope, Brother Dave. You know that thing you mentioned where they says on some of the news thing, we don't have hope today. Yes, we have hope today. Not in just basically politics or what we do as a nation, but we have hope in the coming of Jesus Christ, who's called the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, we have hope as children of God. Behold, all things are become new. A spiritual body will have a spiritual body. It says in Revelation 21:5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." You can put it down, beloved, as God's word, that these sayings are true and faithful because Christ spoke those words. The true Messiah, the true God. When he speaks, it's settled, beloved. New heavens and new earth it speaks about. A new heavens and a new earth. And he says in 21:1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Oh, there will be a new heaven. This earth is going to be burned up. It's going to be changed. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. No more sin will dwell on this earth. One day this earth will be purified from evil, no more evil. And that promise we saw in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions or abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Oh, the Savior went to glory to prepare a place for you and I. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." There's his promise. "And receive you unto myself." There's the promise. "And where I am, there you may be also." So, beloved, this is not our home. We're strangers, as Peter says, and pilgrims. We're just going through this world. We're aliens. We're not of this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We were given a new name. For Revelation 3:12 says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." We have a lot of things to look forward to. Oh, it's going to be glorious. Glorious, Brother Dave. We will be free from all evil. That is something I'm looking forward to. We shall behold the glory of the Lord, the Son of God. Jesus prayed in John 17, the 17th chapter of John, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. What purpose? That they may behold my glory. See, we're getting a little glimpse today of the glory of God. Remember when Christ on the transfiguration, the glory, his glory was so beautiful? Peter was so afraid and didn't know what to say. Shall I build a booth for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah? Because they didn't know what to say. That's when he shined like the sun, the glory. And we will behold in glory, the glory, his glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What a blessing that is. Jesus will give us rest forever and forever in that world. For if Jesus had given them rest, referring to the Old Testament, they would not have afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. In verse 3 of Revelation 14, it says, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the beast and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. In Revelation 22, 20, it says, he which testifieth these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. So come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Hallelujah. Beloved, we need to love the Lord. Whom, having not seen, ye love. Because of all of this, it's to draw us to love him more. Look at our future. Look at our hope. Look at what's waiting for us, prepared for us. Oh, beloved, I don't have the vocabulary to express the greatness of what's waiting on us. But as you read these things in the Word of God, pray that the Holy Spirit will blow up on your soul and give you that love and draw your heart out to the Lord and bow down before him and worship the Lord our God. May we pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit in our life to shine into our souls and open up our understanding to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To make these truths so real to our hearts that it affects our joy and our peace and gives us a longing to be with Christ and to go home and to be faithful unto death, as it speaks about. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray and give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?